Open to Romans chapter 3. I think the best title for this talk is It's Different Now. Romans chapter 3. It's Different Now. So yes, as is normally the case, I had no idea what to talk about this morning. When I sat down to put some scribbles on a piece of paper. But it's just speaking to someone recently. And, it was just a couple of aspects of that conversation. I thought, oh, yeah, we'll roll on and see where it goes. So Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So this refers, of course, people that don't follow God, people in their own strength doing that which is right in their own eyes. You can read the Old Testament over and over again, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Judges, people trying to do things in the wisdom of their own eyes. And God quotes a couple of psalm verses here that there's none righteous, no, not one. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They're just bad stuff. Like before God, God is this all pure spirit. He is righteousness embodied. He is purity there. And before that righteousness, human beings in their own strength are basically nothing, really. There's none righteous. Their tongues have used deceit. You know, it's just bad stuff before the amazing purity of God. And it does go on. Like the last two verses refers to the law, the old law, which the Old Testament's all about. People trying to follow the old law, and it says that in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So I'll read more scriptures later, but the law was written for a chosen people of God, the nation that he called Israel, and he chose them, he called them amongst all others to bless them, and he imparted the law, like made this group of people to understand the law. And the law was a series of instructions on how people should live before God. Now, the law, what it did is it made sin known. So it says in verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so when God told them about the law, it means people started to understand what sin was. It defined sin. And so that's why it says that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, right? So if you're living under the law, under these precepts and rules and instructions that teach you what sin is, then that only applies to those that are under the law. You know, anybody else who's outside the law, you know, doing whatever they want, you know, those things don't belong to them because they don't have that knowledge of sin. Now, the law was gracious and righteous before God because it gave people the ability to judge according to God's judgment, if you know what I mean, even though there was that strength in the flesh. It says in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So if you follow the things of the law or even the things of what you think are right, you know, nowadays we don't follow the law, praise the Lord. You know, we're not sacrificing goats and sheep. It's disgusting. And I really praise the Lord that we're beyond that now. We don't follow the things of the law. But nowadays people might think that they're right before God, and they think they've got their own righteousness. I mean, we spoke to someone only yesterday, didn't we, on the street, which was, that he was sure he was doing the right thing. He was sure, right, that's fine, I'll just accept the judgment of the Lord. You know, in a way, he's following his own law and doing that which is right in his own eyes. But it says quite clearly there that that flesh will not be justified in his sight, in God's sight, when we go about these things. So we need a miracle. We need a miracle in our lives. And we heard two testimonies about that wonderful miracle so that we can be pulled out from this situation, this gap that's between mankind and God. So if we read on, verse 21, but now, right, but now the righteousness of God without the law, so the law outside the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Right, they spoke about it in the future, and the law was a shadow of things to come. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And you can read on some great scriptures that I've read before. So now the righteousness of God without the law is now manifested in our own lives, you know, through the faith of Jesus Christ, you know, and through the faith of Jesus Christ unto all those who believe. That's what it says there. And there's no difference. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter which what your background is or whatever. It doesn't matter. It matters now. It matters now what your response is through your faith in Jesus Christ and your belief, you know, that signs follow those who believe. So it does start with that type of repentance, knowing that, yes, I've got this faith in Jesus Christ. I want to follow him. I want to shed my own ideas. I want to walk away from my own righteousness or my own law and follow God, follow Jesus Christ and become a believer that has signs following, knowing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so then verse 24, just great, being justified. You know, that's an important word, being justified. We've been judged as being just, okay? We're being judged as being righteous before God freely by his grace. Another important word, grace. We understand that is an unmerited favour. You know, we didn't deserve anything. Read verses 10 through to 20 again. You know, that's where we were. We didn't deserve any sort of righteousness to be imparted upon us. You know, but we're being justified freely by grace through the redemption. You know, being redeemed through Jesus Christ. So this is kind of introducing that aspect. It's different now. So in the past, from verses 10 through to 20, that was the past. But now, through the righteousness of God, it's different now. You know, we're perfect before God through grace. Chapter 5, praise the Lord that it's different now. What a relief. I certainly felt relieved. I thought, yes, here it is. This is what it's all about. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's what I was kind of alluding to before. Like the law was taught to a people so that then offences might be understood. You know, that's what it says there, that the offence might abound. Ah, that person's done something wrong because the law told me to know that that's wrong. But as a result of the definition of law, definition of sin, it defined how far people were from God. It defined it with clarity. And as a result of that definition, we can understand how much grace is. You know, the extent of grace. It says there that grace did much more abound because it overcame that offence. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, it's a logical thing. And some people think that, oh, you know, now you can do whatever you want. You know, yeah, you're perfect before God. You know, you've been washed and you're cleansed and you're perfect. So you can do whatever you want. It's not the case. And it says here quite nicely, what shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, so should we carry on being rat bags and so that then grace might abound. No, it's all different now. It's different. Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I like that. It's a logical thing. Paul goes through some very logical things in his epistles. So based on that premise that through baptism it's the likeness of Christ's death, extended on that, okay, if we've been through this baptism in the likeness of Jesus Christ's death, then we can assume quite confidently that we can be raised up in the same way that Jesus was raised up in his resurrection. Verse 6, know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, it all makes sense. It's quite clear there. Our body that epitomized sin has now been crucified in a type, you know, through that baptism. And so now we leave it behind. We do not serve sin anymore. We're not a slave to sin anymore. We now serve God. It's all different now. Just jump down to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, we've been broken. That dominion of the law has been broken. We're free now. We're not bound by the fetters of sin. You know, I like so many testimonies. People, after they're baptized and received the Holy Spirit, they felt like a burden had been lifted off that they didn't even know they were carrying. You know, it's like that sin, you know, that the fetters of the sin just holding them down. And in a type, they feel that physically. It has no longer dominion over us. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Same thing we're talking about before. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So choose, you know, which one you're only servants to. Servant to sin, which leads to death, or a servant of God, obedience to God's ways, which leads to righteousness and life. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That freedom. Down to verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, and you can kind of read these scriptures and you can read the whole chapters that I've just picked the bones out of, but you can see a progression as they're explaining, you know, where we were under sin, you know, and how worthless we were with God. And then you progress along and we're baptized and our sin was crucified with Jesus Christ. And then you progress further. We're now free. We're free. We're saved by grace and we lead a new life. We've left sin behind. You know, we follow God's righteousness. And we are righteous. We're perfect in his eyes. And then further down, beyond our current life, you know, we have this great hope that we'll have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the life, you know, the wonderful thing we look forward to, the end being everlasting life, to dwell with God forever. You know, we know we can leave all this stuff here on earth behind. We have this great hope, the hope above hopes. You know, we'll all but miserable if we only had hope in this earth. But we hope beyond that. We hope to dwell with God forever. dwell with him forever, not away for him, from him forever. And we've been made free from sin now. We're servants of God now. We have the fruit of holiness now, so that the end is everlasting life. It's a wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a fact. We understand that. And such were some of you. In the past, you were some of those things. But now ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So that's that. It's so different now. Our past can be left behind. Now, we are washed, we are sanctified, and we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's so great. And how we do that, we heard two great testimonies of people being baptized by full immersion, instructions in the scriptures, and the baptism is so important. You get baptized with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. And then you pray for the Holy Spirit, and you stop praying when you speak in tongues. And that's when it's all different. You know, you are then washed, sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can leave the past behind. You can have a clear conscience. It's a commandment of the Lord that you do not condemn yourself. You leave it completely behind and you look to the future. It was what I spoke about last week. You look to the future with a clear conscience. It's all washed. I mean, Paul himself wrote about the horrible things he did. You know, he pursued the Christians in the young church to death. The horrible things he did. But he understood that he was washed, sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. He understood that it was all different now after he'd been baptized and received the Holy Spirit. He's got a new walk. He's left behind those old ways. He's no longer the servant of sin, but the servant of God. Ephesians chapter 2. And what a wonderful thing it is. How free we are, you know, to look forward to the future, not to be bound up by what we did in our past. It's the nature of man to condemn themselves about the past. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You know, that amazing love, even when we were dead, even when we were useless. It says in Ezekiel, when we were like this baby that was cast aside, still covered in the afterbirth. You know, like that's how revolting we were before the Lord. But he called us and he quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ by grace. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, so we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. And I like how it adds there, the other half of verse 9, lest any man should boast. Yeah, I got to heaven because I was really good. No, we give God the glory in everything. God gets the glory. It's not anything we did. It was all the Lord. And that's why we've got to put the Lord first, number one in our life. We have no avenue for boasting before the Lord for what we can achieve before him. Then it goes in verse 10, we are his workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus, been filled with his Holy Spirit. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, to serve good works, to serve God, not serve the works of sin, which lead to destruction and lead to death. But we want to serve God and Jesus, good works that lead to life, and that more abundantly. And it says there at the end of verse 10, ordained that we should walk in them. You know, that's a commandment of the Lord, that we must walk in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's different now. And verse 9, For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We understand the scripture, the foundation that's been laid out by the apostles, you know, that the salvation message, what we can tell people and expound the scriptures, the great things God has done. That's a great foundation. But then as we walk our own lives, as we follow the Lord, do the things of the Lord and things on this earth, we've got to do things here on earth as well to balance in a way. We are building our own building on that foundation. As we go about our work here on earth, work for the Lord and work for our earthly masters. And we're building this building, construction, on top of a foundation that's already been laid. And it says, verse 10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay, bearing in mind it's all different now. It's a different life that we lead. So let us take heed how we build this building on top of the foundation, which is immovable. We have an immovable foundation. It's a rock that will not move. God cannot change his mind. He cannot lie. So that foundation, we're all building our house on that. So let every man take heed, be careful how he builds thereon, thereupon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, or it remains, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So if you understand, we've got this foundation, and then through life we build the house, the construction. And the materials in that construction are gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Okay? In that construction, through what we do here on earth. So gold, silver, precious stones, they are things of the Lord. Wood, hay, stubble are things of this earth. And we need both. Like it's a balance that we have here on earth. We're serving God, but also we've got things to do here on earth. So everyone here in their house that they're building as they walk on, following the Lord, there will be things of wood, hay, stubble in it. You can't avoid that. You know, we've got to put food on the table. We've got time that we've got to spend elsewhere where we're not fully following the Lord. But then it'll all be tried by fire, all of it. You know, when Jesus returns, he'll come back like this flaming fire. It'll all be tried by fire. The only things that will endure forever are those things that are gold, silver, precious stones. All the other things, the wood, hay and stubble, will be burnt up. They'll evaporate. You can't take them away from this earth. They'll remain here. They'll burn up with the rest of the earth. And it says there that when we lose our wood, hay and stubble, we will suffer loss, you know, because we put that effort into that stuff, you know. Our house here on earth, that's made of wood, hay and stubble, and that will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, you know. We'll still carry with us the Holy Spirit. We are still perfect before God's eyes. We are still washed, cleansed and sanctified. We are justified as being perfect, but we'll carry with us those things that are gold, silver and precious stones. Or it says elsewhere, we're actually storing them in heavenly places. You know, they're not actually here on earth anyway. And so let every man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that great reward is the endurance of the gold, silver and precious stones. So let us put the Lord first, build up these treasures in heaven. It's all different now. We'll read another scripture further down. Yeah, the next scripture. You know, in the past, all we could build up was wood, hay and stubble. That's all we could build up. We couldn't build up the things of the Lord because we weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. But now we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have this ability to build up heavenly treasures as well. Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, just wonderful verses here. But read the conclusion of it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Okay, the Gentiles are those that are separate from God. So that's what I referred to before. Before we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we were the spiritual Gentiles. And so we're working away, we're building up these things, this wood, hay, stubble, things that would remain on earth. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Okay, God knows we need food on the table. God knows we need a house. God knows we need a car. We need things here on earth. He knows that. Then it says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God's saying here, get your priorities right. Okay, get your priorities right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Follow his righteousness, his commandments. Walk in spirit and in truth. And then all these other things shall be added unto you. These things of wood, hay and stubble, the Lord will provide here on earth for us. We don't need to stress about it. Don't get me wrong, it's very hard not to stress about it. but if we just switch out of that, seek the Lord first and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And he's obligated to provide for us if we put him first, because he knows we need this stuff here on earth. He knows it. He says that. Our Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that. So he's obligated, if we put him first, to provide these things. So we do this work with the gold, the silver, precious stones, and God will provide the wood, hay and stubble that will remain here on earth. He'll bless us, and we hear testimonies of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, so here's that separate thing. The word holy means separate. You know, the Holy Spirit's a separate spirit. It's different to the other spirits. We are a holy people. We're separate. And it says here, verse 70, wherefore come out from among them, the other people, and be separate. So the title of this talk is, it's different now. Okay? Our lifestyle is different. We don't do the same stuff that others do. We lead a different life. You know, we have God as our priority. We leave behind those things that I read before in Romans 3. We leave them all behind, and we've got a new life. We serve God. We stand out. It's amazing. It never ceases to amaze me how much we stand out. And it's thrown in my face when I'm just talking to someone, like through a work situation, and they just know that we're different. And they just know it. It just seems to spread around. We stand out because we don't swear. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't do drugs. We don't party, and we don't go to nightclubs. We don't go to pubs. We don't do all that stuff. We lead a different life. We spend all day on Sunday at church, you know, and we love it. How different's that? So we are different. We're different. We stand out, and we can't help but latch hold of any opportunity to tell people about the kingdom of God. It's in us. It's like a pressure cooker. We want to burst out. It's different now. We are separate. We lead a different life. We don't touch the unclean thing. And as a result of that, God has promised to be a father unto us, and we, his own dear children, his own dear children. He'll be a father like to us like no other father can possibly be. Okay, I had a great dad. It was brilliant. He did the best he could. He was fantastic. But our Father in heaven far exceeds anything an earthly father could do. He cares for us. He nurtures us. He watches us grow. He puts up with our tantrums. This morning I had another wee tantrum, and I thought, oh, okay, Lord, I'll get a bit of an idea of what to... He must really feel sad when we throw a tantrum. He must really do. But he is a gracious God. He can see the bigger picture. He's eternal. He knows that we'll come around in the end. Life is different now. We are separate, and it stands out. And it's amazing as well, like, because we're different, like how word spreads so quickly. As you know, I've only recently resigned from the city of Bunbury, and I was just walking around the street on during the week, and I bumped into a work colleague who I didn't have much to do with, and she goes, "Oh, so you've left to be a pastor?" Oh, you know? What? Okay, well, it spread like wildfire, didn't they? They all knew why I left, why I had I wanted Mondays off. That was the whole reason I wanted Mondays off. It just all spread around. Like, that's the reason, and people find out. And anyway, it just opened up another witness, didn't it? So it's happened because we're different. And grab hold of that. Be not afraid of the fact that we're different, because God has made us different. It's not we that's made us different. It's God who's made us different. He's raised us up. And like was said in testimony as well, like people, that's right, Rod's testimony. His cousin was so different, so happy, had Bibles and concordances and stuff, quite happy reading the Bible and going through the Bible. We're different now. We have this life and happiness that was not there. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians, back to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wonderful verses there, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him, Jesus Christ, sin for us, who was perfect. But it says in amongst that, for a start, we are ambassadors of Christ. You know, we stand out. We are here to spread the gospel. We're here to bring people to the kingdom of God. And it says there in verse 18, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry is a servitude. And so that ministry of reconciliation is for us to tell people how to be reconciled to God. That is our ministry. We go about saying, you can be reconciled to God. Now, it's funny how they use the word reconciled, right? Reconciled means it's redone. So in the past, mankind did have a relationship with God. That was Adam. But then he decided he didn't want a relationship with God anymore. So we'd be reconciled so that we can have this relationship that Adam did before he fell. So we have this ministry. We are ambassadors. We have this word of reconciliation that's been committed unto us. And so we have this ability to explain the scriptures. We have this knowledge base. We have this experience where we can tell others how to be reconciled with God. You know, bring them to the meetings, and then at the meetings we can expound the scriptures and show them how they can be born again of water and the Spirit. That repentance as well is so important. That their past can be forgotten and it can be all different now. A bright future where there is life, and that more abundantly. And it says there, Jesus Christ himself says in the middle of verse 19, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Jesus didn't remind us how bad we were. Jesus has managed to ignore how bad we were. So we also manage to ignore how bad people are, you know, and forget about that and look to the future and say, no, all that stuff can be washed. You can be cleaned. You can be sanctified, and you can be justified. You can be judged appropriately as being perfect before the living God. Thank you. Hand over to Ian, who's got the communion.